Thank you, Jerry. Joe, we will see you guys tomorrow morning. And, yeah, the Blue Jays certainly have come a long way. When they woke up on May 26th, the Blue Jays were in last place in the American League East, 7 games behind the Boston Red Sox, 5 games behind the second-place Orioles. And today they sit a game and a half ahead of those Red Sox, who are playing later tonight in Anaheim, and now just a half game back of the first place Baltimore Orioles. And like Jerry said, the Jays can move into first place with a win tomorrow afternoon. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays beat the Orioles 6-5 despite getting only one hit after the third inning. Gutty effort by Marco Estrada and then Benoit to Grilly to Asuna. And the Blue Jays close it out. Let's get to the phones. Devon in Peterborough, or is it Devon?
It's Devon.
Devon, sorry. Go ahead.
Just first off, thanks for taking my call. Love hearing from you after the Jays games. It's, other than hearing the Jays win, it's my favorite part of the night.
Thanks.
Just wanted to hear your input on getting rid of Dickey.
To what end?
Well, he hasn't really pitched all that well this year.
But he hasn't pitched poorly. I mean, he's pitched poorly on occasion, but he hasn't pitched all
that
poorly.
For sure, but there's a lot of other guys out there.
Who's better?
Well,
who's better that the Blue Jays can replace him with right now?
Well, not anybody that they've got in their rotation, but to trade for someone like a good ace, with a knuckleball pitcher. If the knuckleball is not working, they really don't have anything else. When you've got normal pitchers, if one pitch isn't working, they stop using it, they go to the next one.
Right. No, that's true. And R.A. Dickey has actually done that once this year and won the game. But I think that first of all, there aren't any aces out there available to be had. The Blue Jays aren't getting Chris Sale.
What about Archer?
I don't think they're getting Chris Archer or Jake Odorizzi. I have a very hard time believing that Tampa Bay would trade controllable pitchers to the Blue Jays because they don't want to have to deal with them in the division for the next 2, 3, 4 years. I think that the Blue Jays are looking for starting pitching. I don't think they're going to get an ace. But that starting pitching is for A, insurance, if someone should get hurt, and two, to take over for Aaron Sanchez, because it does seem, despite protestations of a lot of people who have nothing to do with the decision, it seems like it's pretty inevitable that Aaron Sanchez is going to move to the bullpen. I get what you're saying.
Do you agree with that move?
Pardon me?
Do you agree with that move?
I think it's the right thing to do, yes. I hear what you're saying about R.A. Dickey. I think, and you're not the... this isn't directed specifically at you. But I think that the people just don't quite understand how a pitching rotation is made up. If your fifth starter is a slightly below average pitcher, which is what R.A. Dickey has been this year, then you're golden. That's something that's wonderful. That's not something that's a crisis or that you need to replace, right? R.A. Dickey has an ERA of 4.66 in 22 starts, which means on average, R.A. Dickey is going 6 innings and giving up 3 runs. He's had some blow-ups, and he's had some games where he's been better than that, much better than that. But why would you not want that out of your fifth starter?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I a lot more about ball than I do, so I just wanted to get your input on it.
It's hard not to get frustrated when you watch R.A. Dickey give up 5 or 6 runs, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and sometimes that's what you remember. And he's done that 5 times this year out of 22 starts, but he's done it in each of his last 3 starts. So it's, again, it's harder for people to say, this guy's actually pretty good, when all you remember is being frustrated by him. But,
right.
you know, for a bottom-of-the-rotation guy, it's pretty good.
Right. But getting rid of him also gets rid of Toley. And if they just sign Kratz, you know, to get a vet, another vet up there.
Josh Toley is a veteran, too. And I would wager Josh Toley's got more big league time than Eric Kratz does.
What, and I don't really know all that much about Kratz. What's his hitting like compared to Toley?
He's got a lot more power. He's definitely got a lot more power than Josh Toley, but his career on base percentage about 70 points lower than Toley's.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks.
No problem. Thank you for the call. Yeah, Eric Kratz is going to be lovely for the Blue Jays in September. And Eric Kratz did show two springs ago that he can catch a knuckleball. So he's down there in Buffalo. He played today. He got a hit. But before we start thinking Eric Kratz savior, Eric Kratz is a career 200 hitter in the major leagues with a 248 on base percentage. Career 200 hitter in the major leagues with a 248 on base percentage. Got power. 37 homers in 600 at-bats. He's got power. And he definitely has that over Josh Toley. And he throws well. So he's viable. He's a viable backup. But he's no savior. Rick is in Lunenburg, Nova Scotia. Hey, Rick, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call. I call you every 3 years. I think the last time I called you, so just keeping our relationship going.
I appreciate that.
But anyhow, no, I'm down on vacation and enjoying Blue Jay coverage with Jerry and Joe every night there as I enjoy my vacation in the evenings listening to ball games. I just throw this out, Mike. I know in listening to some of your calls earlier in the week, and you know, you've been probably tired of those people that are making the case about, you know, Sanchez and why people are why the Blue Jays are considering taking him out of the starting rotation.
Look, it's the biggest story in baseball right now.
What's that?
It's the biggest story in baseball right now.
Exactly. I don't want to belabor it, and I know to challenge your patience any further than we need to, but. Just wondering, you know, I know often in baseball history, you know, it's not been uncommon for ball clubs to go with a four-man rotation. Just wondering, you know, just for the conversation, I guess, is it at all, you know, an option to go with a six-man rotation to bring up Drew Hutchinson or to pick up somebody and to keep, you know, Sanchez in that sort of six-man rotation so you're pushing him off a little bit, not challenging him too much. Taking advantage of great job he's done in that role with the Blue Jays. I'd be interested in your comments. Is that just too crazy an idea to have a six-man rotation for the last 60 games of the season?
That's not a crazy idea, but it's counterintuitive, and I'll tell you why. The Blue Jays have the best starting rotation in the American League by many measures. This is the best rotation in the American League. So if you bring Drew Hutchinson up and make it a six-man rotation, then you're not actually gaining anything as far as Aaron Sanchez goes, right? You're just spreading the same amount of innings over a longer period of time, and you're pushing everybody else back a day. You're losing starts from Estrada and Happ and Stroman and Dickey in order to what? Like, what's the end goal here? You're right. Still getting the exact same amount of innings from Aaron Sanchez as you would if you kept him in a five rotation.
Well, not quite. If
Why not?
Pitching every he's pitching every 5 days, and he's pitching every 6 days. He wouldn't have as many starts down the stretch.
You would be keeping. Yeah, but you would be keeping him in the rotation longer.
Right.
Right. So you're going to take him out still around the same number of innings or whatever.
Right.
I don't want to emphasize there's no hard cap on innings.
Yeah,
for him.
No, I mean, I'm kind of, you know, grasping a little bit. Because,
yeah, but it doesn't.
He's done a spectacular job for us. And I guess Stroman, you know, Estrada's back situation, Mike, I guess I'd just throw out there as well. Maybe just giving him an extra day's rest might be helpful for him. And Dickey's been struggling just a bit. Just wondering if there was any, you know, and where he's a knuckleballer and not quite as probably as prone to the 5-day rotation as some other starters. I'm just wondering if it, in the Blue Jays circumstance it might work, you know. But I take what you're saying in good faith. I just wondering if there's one way of stretching this out a bit, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but it, again, it stretches him out, but it doesn't get you any more from him.
Right.
Right? It gets you, let's say they were going to give him another five starts, then he gets those five starts over 30 days instead of over 25 days.
Right.
Right? Right? So you're not actually getting anything more, and you're having your better pitchers pitch less often.
Right on. No.
Yeah.
Good.
So for me, that doesn't work.
No, no. Anyhow, I appreciate you taking my call, Mike, and enjoy the great job you're doing and keep it up. We're looking forward to the last 60 games of the year. It's been terrific.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you. I appreciate it, and it's I appreciate your every 3 years of phone calls. We are going to step away, and when we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls. We will continue to post-game it up as the Blue Jays move to within a half game of first place in the AL East. They hand the Baltimore Orioles their fourth straight loss. Blue Jays win it 6-5. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Martin lines one to second through. Jonathan Scope out into right field. A base hit. Saunders scores. The Blue Jays 5, the Orioles 3.
Part of that three-run third inning for the Blue Jays, Russ Martin taking advantage of the Orioles playing the infield in, hit a rocket right through Jonathan Scope. A couple of batters later, Kevin Pillar with an RBI single, and the Blue Jays hold on for a 6-5 win over the Baltimore Orioles. The Jays could move into first place in the American League East with a win tomorrow. They have not been alone in first since April 4th when they were 2-0. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We'll hear from the skipper, John Gibbons, in a second. But first, to Eddie in Fort Erie. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Mike. How are you tonight?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I wanted to talk about something that you and Kevin Barker had on Baseball Central about the Andrew Cashner trade, because it kind of got me thinking a little bit. And if you remember last year, the Mets made a trade that kind of, you know, turned their fortunes around while the Nationals were still in first place at that time. And this trade might be one of those ones that could turn the Marlins around because, yeah, the Nationals are in first place, but I don't trust them. And it's one of those things where I think to myself, you know, what if this happens again where a trade like that could turn a team's fortune around, you know what I'm saying?
It's possible, I guess. I mean, you never know, right? I have a lot more faith in the Washington Nationals than you seem to have. I mean, they've got Daniel Murphy, who's hitting like one of the greatest hitters of all time. Bryce Harper is there. Wilson Ramos is resurgent. And to go with this great rotation with Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg at the top, Tanner Roark's having a great year, and Gio Gonzalez seems to have turned it around. So for me, and I was talking about it on Baseball Central, I think that the Washington Nationals are far less catchable for the Marlins than the Yankees were for the Blue Jays last year. I mean, obviously, we'll see. Five games out with a third of a season to go is far from an insurmountable lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just one of those things that I thought of because, you know, something like that could really, you know, help a team go a long way and really, you know, make a long playoff run. And it's one of those, you know, just one of those things that came into my mind when I heard about it today with you and Kevin Barker.
All right. Well, we shall see. The only way to find out is to watch these last 2 months of the season. Thanks for the call, Eddie.
Thanks, Mike.
Blue Jays beat the Orioles 6-5. Let's hear from the skipper. Here's what John Gibbons had to say about tonight's victory.
John, the offensive outbursts like we saw in the first there are in some ways nothing new for your team, but did it feel like it was an authoritative statement, especially after Baltimore taking a 2-0 lead?
Well, I know one thing. That was really a typical Baltimore-Toronto type game over the last couple of years, you know, and two teams that really just slug it out, and they went up, Trumbo with a big hit, nice clutch to a two-strike hit. And then we answered right back. I thought that was important. And then Marco, I thought Marco was a little bit off with his command, more so with his off speed, his changeup. He's bouncing a lot, which is, he doesn't normally do that. Maybe the time off affected him a little bit there. But, they keep coming at you. And, we scored some big runs, great at bat by Tulowitzki, second, third, get him over and get him in, and then Russ with a big hit. So, yeah, we did a lot of good things. And, Marco, he gutted it out like he always does. And then Benoit, Grilly, and Osuna at the end, really – was the key there. But, I mean, even Worley over there gave them a shot, and they kept it close, and, you know, they made a run at it. So it's typical type games we normally play.
Yeah, that first inning looked like Estrada's velocity was a little bit down, and then it really picked up second, third, and that seemed to be where he locked in. Do you think that little bit of extra velocity just gave him a bit more confidence, or did maybe his back loosen up a little bit more over that time?
Well, I don't know. You know, to be honest, I didn't even notice that. I just kind of looked just the way he's throwing. Yeah, I mean, there's really no concerns about his back. But you know, a lot of times if there's ever going to be an inning, he struggles usually in the first inning where, you know, he's trying to find his release point and all that stuff, and then he usually finds that groove and goes, you know. So not an unusual outing necessarily, except, but it's a great hitting team, you know, that making mistakes, they can burn you.
John, you touched on Benoit, Grilly, and Osuna and the job that they did. Are you a lot more comfortable with the way things are with your bullpen now compared to where they were earlier this season?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we'd seen Benoit throw one inning the other day. You know, we like what we saw in him. I mean, he's got a track record. He's a veteran guy, and that's always big. You know, first time we've seen him in that role. So, but he came through. And then we got that big double play ground ball, which is key, you know, after that play at first base. So, yeah, I like it. Yeah.
John, that wacky run by Machado in the third, I know it's kind of a strange situation. You got the shift on. There's a runner at first. Who's responsible for third on a play like that? Is it cut and dried?
Well, what happens is, you know, it's a very rare play because, you know, I mean, well, there's certain guys you shift, certain guys you don't. Ideally, you know, with two outs, you know, maybe you just eat the ball. But, you know, the guys are trying to make plays. The catcher normally is, you know, you tell him if it's a stolen base attempt, the pitcher's got to go because he's throwing the ball, batted ball. You know, he heads down there. But it's so rare. And then what happens? Oh, you know, the ball to the right side, so the pitcher's moving that way. And so when he gathers himself, he's got to see, well, okay, somebody's home plate's vacated. But one thing catchers have always learned from day one as young players is you really, if a guy's second in the scoring position anywhere, don't vacate the base, you know. And what happened? We vacated it at a necessity. It's the way the play is, but nobody picked him up. It's such a rare play. You might not see it again that, you know what, sometimes it can catch you off guard.
John, you, in the first inning, it looked like Marco was trying to just stretch the back out a little bit. When you see that and knowing what he's been up against this year, does that worry you at all when you see that in the first inning?
No, because to be honest with you, he always does that. So, no, I don't put much stock in that. And our, you know, pitching coach and everybody, trainers check with him after every inning. You know, we think that's behind him now, so we're not too worried about that.
Well, here's hoping. It would be great if Marco Estrada's back issues were behind him. And you know what? He dove for that ground ball in the second inning. And though he got up and did walk pretty gingerly off the field when that inning was over, he was fine. And when you have a bad back and it's seizing up on you, the last thing you're going to do is dive for a baseball, throw yourself to the ground. Now, adrenaline can take over, obviously, in that situation, but if it's bad and then you do that, adrenaline or otherwise, you're not coming back out and finishing six innings. And Marco Estrada did that, and how about this? Estrada, another outing of six innings and five hits or fewer. The streak's not alive anymore because the outing before he went on the DL, he didn't make it through six. But how many is this now where Marco hasn't given up more than five hits? Guy leads the league in, well, his last time out, he gave up seven hits, so never mind. He leads the league in opponent's batting average. He had that run of 13 in a row. And now I think 14 out of his last 15 starts, he's given up five hits or fewer, and he's made it through at least six innings in all but one. Just an incredible job by Marco Estrada, and he did it again tonight. And the Blue Jays beat the Orioles 6-5 to close to within a half game of first place in the American League East. Turns out, season wasn't over in May after all. We will keep taking your phone calls up to 11 o'clock on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 590, or sportsnet.ca/590. Lines are open at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Postgame show is brought to you by Iran. And we are back here at Rogers Center. The Blue Jays, a 6-5 win over the Baltimore Orioles. So they're a half game out of first place in the American League East. On the St. Louis Bar and Grill out-of-town scoreboard, the Boston Red Sox, who are now a game and a half behind the Blue Jays, are in Anaheim, just underway against the Angels. It's nothing-nothing in the top of the second inning. Rick Porcello against Tim Lincecum in that game. Yankees were 5-1 losers to the Tampa Bay Rays. So the Yankees now 5.5 games behind the Blue Jays in that chase for second place. But the big story, obviously, half game back of the Baltimore Orioles. We're back at it tomorrow on the air at 12:30 p.m. Eastern for a 107 first pitch. It'll be Jay Happ against Yovani Gallardo, and a win puts the Blue Jays in first place. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or transmitted or retransmitted in any form. And the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Ryan Clark, and Mark Boffo, I'm Mike Wilner. Subscribe to the podcast. Blue Jays Talk continues.
Infield is back. Tulowitzki hits a ground ball to second base. Scooped up by Jonathan Schoop. Throw it to first in time. Edwin scores. To third base comes Saunders. Blue Jays take a 4-3 lead as Tulowitzki knocks in his second.
And that was right after the Orioles tied the game in the top of the third on that ground ball to the right side with a runner at first. Manny Machado scored because of a couple of missed assignments on the shift, but the Jays went right back ahead in the bottom of the third on that ground ball by Troy Tulowitzki. Russ Martin followed with an RBI single through a drawn-in infield. Two batters later, Kevin Pillar with a line single, and it was 6-3 Jays after three, and they held on. They only got one hit the rest of the way, and the last 13 Blue Jays were retired in order by Vance Worley and Brad Brock. But the Orioles were shut down as well. Only two hits for them after the fourth inning. That leadoff homer by Manny Machado off of Jason Grilli in the eighth. And the two-out double by J.J. Hardy off of Roberto Osuna in the ninth. But Osuna got Adam Jones' first pitch weak grounder to third base to end the game. The Jays beat the Orioles 6-5. They're a half game out of first place in the American League East. On May 26th, the Blue Jays were seven games out behind the first-place Boston Red Sox, actually, at that point in time. And now the Jays are a game and a half clear of the Red Sox, half a game behind Baltimore, only 2 months after that. Last year, in 2 months, they gained 14 games on the New York Yankees over August and September, and now they are knocking on the door of first place in the AL East again. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Taking your calls, and let's get right back to it. Ayaz is in Guelph. Welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Go ahead.
All right. So my question is, with how good the Jays are playing right now, do you think Toronto is in line to host the All-Star game? I think it would be a great way to showcase our city with how good our team's doing. Or do we need to invest in a new stadium? It's been 25 years since we hosted it the last time. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, it is kind of crazy that it's been 25 years, right? The 1991 All-Star game, and that was pretty good, and the dome was new, and all that stuff. But then you remember that there are 30 teams. So you should really only host an All-Star game once every 30 years, although there have been, I think, two teams that have hosted the All-Star game twice since the Blue Jays hosted it last. I don't know if it has anything to do with them playing well or not. Generally, when a city gets an All-Star game, it's because it got a new ballpark relatively recently, and usually taxpayers paid for it, and that's baseball's thank you, right? Thank you for giving us billions of dollars. We will give you an All-Star game. So I don't think the Blue Jays are in line for that, but the time is coming pretty soon, and who knows? Maybe Mark Shapiro will see if they can move that calendar up, but right now it's certainly not in the offing.
Do you think we need a new stadium, though, Mike? With,
not at
with
all.
No,
what's wrong with this one?
Well, you know what? I go to a few games. It's great when the dome's open, but when the dome's closed, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a good. You compare it to Comerica, where you're out in the in an old school baseball type environment, but in Toronto with the dome open, it's great. But when it's closed, it's a different story.
But when it's closed, they're playing.
I know they're playing, but it you know what? In terms of the ambiance and everything, too, right?
But what I'm saying is, in another ballpark, if the roof were open, there wouldn't be a game going on because there wouldn't be any ambiance because you'd be sitting around in a rain delay.
Oh, that's true too.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other option is, I know it's kind of an expensive option, but another retractable roof type stadium.
I think whenever the next stadium happens, and I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. I don't think it's necessary anytime soon. But I see the next one as sort of being like a Miller Park, Minute Maid, Chase Field sort of thing with that sort of a retractable, or Safeco with that kind of a retractable roof. It is unfortunate that the Blue Jays just missed that old school stadium sort of curve. This place was built right before Camden Yards, and then everything changed. But, I mean, there are no rain delays. There are no rainouts. People who come from far away are guaranteed that they're going to see a game. It's a perfectly Cromulean stadium still. So I don't think there's any reason to build a new one anytime soon.
Fair enough. And it's a good location, too. Right where it is. Yep.
Right where it is. Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Iaz. Yeah, right on subway, right on the GO train, right near the Island Airport, and right off the Gardner. It's a good spot. It's a good ballpark. Look, this place has been my office for the last 15 years, and I know that people complain sometimes, too concrete-y, and they've made some changes to try to alleviate that a little bit, but it's a good ballpark. It's good sight lines. You play when it rains. I don't think there's a need to spend hundreds of millions of dollars of what would likely be our money on a new ballpark. Rick's in Mississauga. Hey, Rick. Hello, Rick.
Yeah, you there?
Yes, are you?
Yeah, I got you now.
Perfect.
Listen, a couple of things. Great game tonight. Had a little bit of everything for everybody in there. Jason Grilley and Brett Cecil, I think that's a perfect combination with the Sooner right now. I don't think there's too many teams right now that are going to be able to score too many runs. I think it's just a fantastic setup right now. The other thing is, I want to mention, would it make any sense to bring Joey down to first base, bring Upton over to right field? Maybe get a little bit of a stronger bat. I know Smokey's been hurting a little bit. He just seems to be struggling a lot. And also we get a bit of speed in there. Is that something that would be considered, do you think, by the Jays, or what are your thoughts on that?
No, I mean, considering the fact that they would rather give up their DH than put Jose Bautista at first the other day against San Diego on Tuesday night, I don't think they're really thinking about moving Bautista to first anytime soon. And honestly, I don't know that Justin Upton is much of an offensive improvement over Melvin Upton Jr. I don't know that he's much of an offensive improvement over Justin Smoke.
Well, the only reason I said that was I'm thinking more for, the base hits. Smokey's obviously a power hitter. He wants to go for the fence every time. There's a lot of openings that he can go for, but he just doesn't have that ability as far as I'm concerned. Maybe I could be wrong on that. And I just thought maybe Junior would have a little bit more opportunity in getting, some clutch hits in or some speed out there a little bit more,
Definitely got the speed.
Yeah.
No question about that. But for me, it's about not getting out. And Upton and Smoke both are big strikeout guys.
Yeah.
Melvin Upton right now, his on-base percentage is .302 for the season. And Smoke's is, what, .336? .332 going into today. So Justin Smoke's getting out a lot less than Upton did or has this season. And he's got 82 strikeouts in 265 plate appearances. Upton's got 107 in 379. So Smoke's striking out more on a percentage basis. But it's certainly not as cut and dried that Upton's
a
better
hitter. Well, I guess the thing about Smokey as well is he's got the switch on him, right? So, you can always flip him over. You've always got that opportunity. So, in a worst-case scenario, if he's not doing good on one side, maybe he can do better on the other.
Yeah.
Listen, Mike, thanks for the call, or taking my call. First-time caller. I appreciate it. Great show. Take care of yourself, and I'm sure I'll be calling in again soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks very much. for appreciate the kind words. Yeah, I know people are frustrated with Justin Smoke, but again, Justin Smoke gets out less than Melvin Upton Jr. does. Upton hits for a slightly higher average. Smoke's slugging percentage is about the same, even with Upton hitting for the slightly higher average, and Smoke gets out 10% less often than Melvin Upton Jr. does. Hopefully it'll be a nice little platoon, because Upton really kills lefties. OPS over 900 against him, and I'm looking forward to seeing him used that way. And he's a nice, very nice, third and a half outfielder, I'll say. He's not a fourth outfielder. It's better than that. But in this outfield, he doesn't start, and that's great. A great luxury that the Blue Jays have acquired for themselves. Alex is in Halifax. Hey, Alex.
Hey, look, three and a half outfields. I like that. Look, I've been listening to you for years. How many years have you been on the show, and how many years on the radio with Blue Jays baseball, first of all?
This is my 15th year in the booth.
Wow, pretty good. Well,
Thank you.
I've never called before, but I thought I'd call for a couple of reasons. In waiting for calls, you're mentioning Dickey and Knuckleball. I'm a little older than you, Mike, and I was a young kid, and I remember a guy who had a terrible stretch in Knuckleball. Then he came back, and he no-hit the Yankees when they had Maris and Mantle, and that's Hoyt Wellhem. So that the Knuckleball does weird things. I'm amazed, thanks to your caller, it's been, what, 1994 since you've held an All-Star game?
91,
wow.
Yeah.
Quite something. Reason for the call. Why TV or radio don't they mention, and maybe they have, that Melvin is really B.J. Upton?
Oh, you've mentioned it. I've mentioned it at least 1,000 times.
Okay, look, and Mike, I don't catch the show all the time. Good, because it reminds me, when Ralph Brock became Dieter Brock in football, and they mention a lot. Okay, if they have, then I have no complaint whatsoever, sir.
I never knew that Dieter Brock was known by another name before.
Yeah, he was Ralph Brock for the first 2 years in Winnipeg. Then he said, no, I want to become Dieter. So, yeah, and there was another guy in Montreal, second baseman, that went from Ron to Ronald or something. But, yeah, Dieter Brock was Ralph Brock, and he won his MVPs in 81 and 82 as Dieter, not Ralph.
Yeah, I remember him well with the Blue Bombers. I'll say this, though. I mean, you said Melvin Upton Jr. is really B.J. Upton. He's really Melvin Upton Jr. because that's what he wants to be called right now. But for the first, he used to be known as B.J. Upton, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, look, first time I call in 15 years, it's I told your producer or the man who answers the phone, I gave up on the Blue Jays from 94 on. And 2 years ago, I came back. And what a difference it makes on a summer night to listen and to have Blue Jays in contention in July, August, and September. What a real thrill.
You bet. Thank you, Alex. Don't wait another 15 years before calling again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Blue Jays 6 and the Baltimore Orioles 5. The Jays are half a game out of first place. They could be in first place. Close of business tomorrow. If Jay Happ and the Blue Jays get the win over Yovani Gallardo, brought over specifically to battle the Blue Jays because of his success against them with the Rangers. We will hear from Marco Estrada in a minute, but let's go out west, shall we? We were just east. Now let's go west to Tisdale, Saskatchewan. Dennis, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Awesome, first-time caller here.
All right, welcome.
Thank you. I just have a comment and a question. Comment is, I'm loving Gurley's energy when he comes off the mound after the inning.
Yeah, he's something, isn't he?
Seems to really pump up the fans and even pumps up me back home just watching the game.
Perfect.
And I was just curious what would happen if they, when they reviewed Kim's ball there, that was, and said it was fair, would have Kim been awarded a double because it bounced out of the park? Or
yeah, I mean, that would have made it easy, right? The general rule there is when a foul ball call is overturned, the umpires then place the base runner where, in their judgment, they would have wound up had the ball been called fair. It's sort of the same thing with spectator interference. When there's spectator interference, the umpires are supposed to place the base runners where they think they would have wound up had there not been any. They usually just ground rule double, but occasionally you've seen some differences that way. But because that ball bounced into the seats, it would have been easy to just say, yeah, he's at second, that's a double.
Okay, so if it didn't bounce, then they would have had to have a talk to see if it would have ended up being a double in their judgment?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Awesome. You got tons of fans here in Saskatchewan.
Jay's oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Thanks for taking my call and keep up the great work.
All right, appreciate it. We love you guys out there. And I hear so often of how there's like this whole culture of listening to Jay's games while you're out there on your tractors. And we can't tell you how much we appreciate that out there in Saskatchewan.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Dennis. We'll continue to take your calls. But first, let's hear from Marco Estrada, who gave up 4 runs, 3 earned on 5 hits over 6 innings. He picks up the win. The Blue Jays beat the Orioles 6-5 to close to within a half game of first place in the AL East. Here's what Estrada had to say after the game.
Marco, how hard is that lineup to face?
Yeah, it's, you know, they're stacked. There's no easy out there, that's for sure. Those guys battle. It's an extremely tough lineup. You know, we have a really good lineup also, and we're matched up pretty evenly. So, like I said, there's no easy outs there. Just kind of grind through every out.
When they score 2 off you in the first, what goes through your mind when you see your big boppers hit 3 solo shots at the bottom?
No, it was awesome to see the guys swing it, obviously. You know, Gossman's tough, and we put some pretty good swings early on. We got a bunch of runs that I obviously needed, so I'm just glad the guys put some swings together today and played incredible defense behind me, because it was a grind for sure.
Were you kind of searching for the command with the changeup early on in the game tonight?
I was just trying to loosen up. You know, obviously that back thing's still there. It's lingering, and I don't feel 100% yet, but I feel like I can still give the team some innings, some quality innings. And, you know, early on, it's tough. Once I loosened up later in the game, I was able to pitch a little bit better, but just got to find a way to get my back loose early on. I was messing with it down, you know, and I think not being able to rotate as much, it kind of restricts me a little bit, and I think that's why I bounced so many of them. But I grinded through it and pulled off a win.
They watch the velocity early on, but does it maybe affect you more with location and with command of your pitches?
Yeah, velocity is obviously down a little bit. It's not fun going out there, especially facing a lineup like that. I'm not feeling 100%, but it's getting there. Hopefully soon, you know, I'll be back to normal and give the guys a little better innings, I guess.
You touched on it a bit there, but is it a fact that, like you said, you're a little uncomfortable to start, and once you get a couple innings in and get a little loose, it's not really there anymore?
Yeah, I guess. Like I said, that it just seems like the more pitches I throw, the better it gets. It just tends to loosen up a bit. It never completely goes away, but it's definitely manageable, and that's basically what I've been doing my last few outings.
You got some big strikeouts with that changeup later in the game. Was that just a product of feeling better as the game went on?
Yeah, I was able to locate a little bit better. I think the movement was still there. I was having trouble trying to reach that pitch. But like I said, the more I threw, the better I felt. And I think my changeup got better as the game went on. And obviously, you know, I needed that pitch. I know the velo is a little down, but I know if I locate, I can still be pretty useful, I guess, successful out there.
Yeah, pretty useful, Marco Estrada. Pretty useful, 5 hits in 6 innings. The Blue Jays beat the Baltimore Orioles by a score of 6-5, so Estrada gutting it out through the lingering back issues that we hope will be alleviated pretty soon. I don't want to be fighting that going into the playoffs, but again, he has been very effective, even with the back problems, since June, when they cropped up on him. I mean, it was bugging him in the spring and cropped up again in June. He hasn't really had a bad start at all. Marco Estrada getting the job done again for the Blue Jays as they beat the Orioles 6-5. I'm Mike Wilner, taking a few more of your calls as we go up to the top of the hour on Blue Jays Talk. Lawrence is in Toronto. Hello, Lawrence.
Hello, Mike. Listen, I want to fantasize a little bit about playoff pitching rotation, because whenever I listen to you, it sounds like, at least it sounds like the opinion is from your side that Sanchez is going to go into the bullpen. So let's fantasize that that's the situation.
All right.
And if that's the situation, then we're pretty much left with R.A. Dickey in the starting rotation.
Assuming nothing changes, which I'm not assuming.
Oh, so you
my opinion is that the Blue Jays will add a pitcher.
Do you think in the next 2 days, trade deadline, we're going to get like a Rich Hill, for example? But let's say that doesn't happen.
I don't know about that.
Let's say that, whatever, it falls through.
Okay.
If it falls through, here's my concern, because I remember it last year. I spoke to Bobcat about it a few weeks ago. What can we do to make sure that Dickey pitches at least outdoors, because of MLB having the rules of closing the dome and all that kind of stuff? To make sure that the knuckleball has an opportunity to have a movement. Is there any, like, what do you think about by design creating a rotation that he would pitch on the road, that kind of stuff?
Remember last year when people were falling all over themselves to make sure R.A. Dickey pitched indoors because the knuckleball moved better and it was easier to control in the controlled environment of the roof? I think that, you know, still he would rather be pitching inside than outside. I don't know how you got that one flipped around. I mean, there are a lot more bad things that can happen when the wind is blowing than good for a knuckleballer. I don't know if the numbers hold it up, but I believe for him, indoors is preferable to outdoors.
That's not the way I remember things. Let's like take a look. It would be interesting to Baseball Reference that in terms of his.
Yeah, I'm doing that right now, actually.
Okay.
He's only had one start with a closed roof. And he gave up 3 runs on 6 hits in 5 innings.
That's when the roof's, quality.
Well, it's one start.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
True.
When the roof's open, he's had 9 starts. He's got an ERA of 3.62 under open skies. Yeah. So there it is. That's this year, but so there's nothing this year.
Do you see him in our playoff rotation?
I see him in the playoff rotation if they don't improve the rotation, but if he's the fifth starter, which he is right now, if he's the fifth starter when the playoffs start, then no, just like Mark Burley last year, when Burley wasn't in the rotation in the playoffs, then he won't be either. But it's early to be talking about stuff like this.
Fair enough.
And here we go. For his career, he's got a 390 ERA with the roof open and a 416 with the roof closed.
Okay. So I was kind of right.
You were?
Well, his ERA was higher with the roof closed.
Oh, right. Yeah, by like a quarter of a run. It's a marginal difference at best. And I think for him, in October especially, although with climate change, who knows, right? But if it's going to be cold, you don't want him outside because it's a huge feel pitch, right? And maybe that's one of the reasons he struggles in April and May sometimes.
Yeah.
You don't want him outside when it's cold.
He did a nice job last year in Texas in the ALDS.
Yep, and then a terrible job against Kansas City in the ALCS.
Horrible, 14-2.
Yeah, these things happen. Look, he's been an average major league pitcher since he got here, and it's a bottom of the rotation guy. And in the playoffs, you have to start your bottom of the rotation guys. You just hope that you just don't have to start the fifth. So if he's the fifth, if you've got Estrada, Happ, Stroman, and you've moved upon Dickey in a trade with Sanchez in the bullpen, then Dickey doesn't start in the playoffs.
Thank you very much, Mike. Have an amazing evening, and speak to you soon.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. Let's sneak one more on before we go. The Blue Jays, 6-5 winners over the Baltimore Orioles to move to within a half game of first place in the AL East, and they won a one-run game. Jason Grilley had to give up a homer in the eighth to make it a one-run game, but they won a one-run game. Joe is in Toronto. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I just have a very quick question again about Sanchez, and sorry to beat a dead horse, but I'm wondering if he does go to the pen,
yep.
is he guaranteed to not be able to pitch to start again, even if we made the playoffs?
Absolutely.
Or pitch in the pen for the season,
nope.
And then make a start in the playoffs?
No chance.
No, he's done for sure then, right?
Yeah, once you're in the pen, you're in the pen.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
All right. No problem. Appreciate it. That's going to do it for us. We'll do this again tomorrow, and maybe when we Jays talk it up tomorrow afternoon, we'll be talking about a Blue Jays team that has just moved into first place. The Jays have been working hard to chip away at the big lead that the Red Sox and then Orioles had in the AL East, and it is not a big lead anymore. The Jays are a half game out of first place. Thanks to this win today, they beat the Orioles 6-5. Marco Estrada goes 6 strong. Then an inning each from Joaquin Benoit, Jason Grilli, and Roberto Osuna, with Osuna picking up his 22nd save. Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion, and Troy Tulowitzki each hit a homer in the first inning to help pace the Blue Jays to this victory. Tomorrow we're on the air at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, a 107 first pitch. Jay Happ's going to serve it up, looking for his 14th win. At 13-3, he's reached his career high. Yovani Gallardo will answer. And then we'll Blue Jays talk it up afterwards, see if the Blue Jays can't move into first place. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.